Well, praise the Lord. We might as well get started now, even though it looks like we're about a minute early, but that's all right. What we're going to do this morning, we're going to sing and worship the Lord for a while. We're going to sing some songs. After that, we're going to continue our study on the great I Am. It'll be part four, and I believe it will be the conclusion of the message, if that's what the Lord wills. But why don't we go ahead and open with a prayer before we do anything, because we need the Lord's help. Father in heaven, we come before you in prayer, seeking thy guidance and direction. We know, O God, that we are helpless without thee, and that without thee we can do nothing. We ask, O God, that thou wouldst be here today, that thou wouldst strengthen us, guide us, direct our paths, direct our minds, so that we might understand what we learn of thee today. We ask, O God, that thou wouldst be here during this worship service, that thy Holy Ghost would be upon each and every one of us. We ask that thy Spirit would flow. And we pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Amen. All right. Why don't we start with number 127 in the hymnal, if you can find your Melodies of Praise hymnal. Jesus paid it all.
Thank you.
know, Jesus did pay it all, and we owe him everything. We could be completely lost and floundering around without him. But not only has he paid our debt that we could never pay, but he is also a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Why don't we go to number 44 and sing, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. A true friend, a better friend than we could ever hope for. Praise the Lord. Well, we sang this one last week, and I think we'll try it again. Number 56, The Comforter Has Come. Found wherever human hearts and human hearts abound. cross, the dreadful will and fury of blast. As o'er the golden hills, the day advances fast, the Comforter has come. The Comforter has come, the Comforter has come, the Holy Ghost from heaven, the Father's promise given. Oh, spread the tidings round, wherever man is found, the Comforter has come. Lo, the King of Kings, with healing in his wings, to every captive soul a full deliverance brings. And through the vacant cells, the song of triumph rings, the Comforter has come. The Comforter has come, the Comforter has come, the Holy Ghost from heaven, the Father's promise given. Oh, spread the tidings round, wherever man is found, the Comforter has come. Oh, boundless love divine, how shall this tongue of mine to wandering mortals tell thy matchless grace divine, that I, a child of hell, should in his image shine. The Comforter has come. The Comforter has come, the Comforter has come, the Holy Ghost from heaven, the Father's promise given. Oh, spread the tidings round, wherever man is found, the Comforter has come. The Comforter has come, the Comforter has come, the Holy Ghost from heaven, the Father's promise given. Oh, spread the tidings round, wherever man is found, the Comforter has come. Praise the Lord. Yes, the Comforter has come. And what a wonderful thing that is. In fact, that's something we're going to be looking at as part of our message later on as we continue on the series, The Great I Am, because that's part of it. Why don't we go to number 198, and this is more good news. Jesus saves.
Echo back the ocean caves, earth shall keep her jubilee. Jesus saves, Jesus saves, above the battle strife. Jesus
Exciting. You know, we should be so excited about that that we want to go out and tell everybody, Jesus saves. Praise the Lord. Why don't we go to number 122, My Burdens Rolled Away. Praise the Lord. I think what we'll do now is take up the collection. Doug, if I could get you to do that for us. Thank you, sir. Father in heaven, we thank thee for these tithes and offerings this morning. We know, O God, that these funds belong to thee. They are not for our purpose, they are not for our use, but for thy use and for thy purposes. We ask, O God, that thou hast blessed the givers here this morning, and also bless those who are unable to give. Pray this in Jesus' name, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. All right, we're going to sing one more song before we get started in the Word. Number 22. Just a closer walk with thee. all need that closer walk with Jesus. Praise God. Well, we are going to get started in the Word. I'm excited about this. Lord willing, this will be the conclusion of our series we've been doing, The Great I Am. This will be part four. And last week, we looked at three of the I Am statements found in the book of John, uttered by our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Great I Am. He made that very clear in John chapter 8. But last week, we looked at his statements, I am the light of the world, I am the door, and I am the good shepherd. Three very important I am statements. And we're going to continue that same study here this morning. This will be part four. But before we get started, I want to open with a prayer. Father in heaven, we come before you in prayer this morning, seeking thy guidance, thy direction, thy will, asking, O God, that thou move upon us in a mighty way. Here this morning, we ask, O God, that thy Spirit, thy Holy Ghost, would be upon each and every one of us. As we look at thy word, as we study thy scriptures, we ask, O God, that thy word would come alive in our hearts and that thou would change us for the better. We pray that thou would give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and hearts that would perceive and understand thy scriptures. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. All right. And we are going to be starting in John chapter 11, which is a very exciting chapter. I know I say that about most chapters, I guess, but this one is a very exciting chapter. We're going to read about a man who died, a man named Lazarus, and he was brought back to life by the Lord Jesus. And of course, we know that that is something he's going to do for each and every one of us one fine day. In John chapter 11, verse 1, it tells us, "Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick." So that was the same woman who had anointed Jesus with ointment before he would go to the cross and die for us. We know that story. Verse 3, "Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick." Now, Jesus, obviously, he cared deeply for this family. These scriptures make this very clear, and he had great affection for this family, Mary and Martha and their brother Lazarus, and it's telling us here that Lazarus was sick. Now, if Jesus had left right away and went to them, Lazarus probably would have still been alive when Jesus got there. But we're going to see in these verses that he intentionally waited, and there's a reason for that. Verse 4 tells us, "When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby." Now, Jesus knew that this man was going to die because he knew everything. But he also knew that he was going to raise him again, and that death would not be permanent. That's why he was able to say, "This sickness is not unto death." Verse 5, "Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days, still in the same place where he was." Now this might seem unusual. It doesn't seem like something someone would typically do when you find out that someone you love dearly is ill. Generally, you rush to see them as quickly as possible. But Jesus waited for 2 days. Why did he do that? We will see why. Verse 7, "Then after that saith he to his disciples, Let us go into Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again?" We know from our previous week's study that by this time there was a great deal of consternation directed toward the Lord Jesus. The Pharisees and the religious elite of that time were very unhappy with the Lord Jesus, because of his teachings, because of his miracles, and because so many people were following him and seeking him out. But what we're going to read about in John chapter 11 is going to be the last straw for them. After what happens in chapter 11, that is when they decide, we've got to kill this guy. We're going to see what happens as we continue on here in this chapter. Verse 9, "Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world." And we know that Jesus is the light of the world. We looked at that last week. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. You know, when you don't have that light of the world dwelling in you, you stumble around, you're lost. We need that light. Verse 11, these things said he, and after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Now, in the physical sense, to those that saw this man, it looked like he was dead, lifeless, but he wasn't really. He was just sleeping. And Jesus knew that. That's why he said this. But they didn't understand, the disciples didn't comprehend what he meant. They thought he was just sleeping in a physical, natural sense. It tells us in verse 12, then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. And then the minds they thought, well, if he's sleeping, he'll probably get better. That's good. Verse 13, howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking a rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. He wasn't truly dead, but in the physical sense, he appeared to be dead. Verse 15, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there. To the intent ye may believe, nevertheless, let us go unto him. That's why he waited, because he was going to perform a great miracle. And when people saw that miracle, there was going to be no doubt in their minds who this was, who this is the Messiah, this is the great I am. Praise the Lord. Verse 16, then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. So Thomas is thinking, well, he's probably going to die if he goes there. The Jews are going to take him. Let us go and we'll have the privilege of dying with him. And we do know that it wasn't too much longer after this that Jesus was put on trial and he was crucified and he was buried, but he rose from that grave. He rose from that grave because the grave cannot keep him, because he is the great I am. Verse 17, then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. So by the time Jesus got there, Lazarus had already been in the grave 4 days. And that, you know, for most people, they'd have to think there is no way this man can come back to life. He's been in there. It's not like he's freshly dead. You know, you see other examples in the Bible of people who died and were brought back to life. You see a couple examples of that with Elijah and so forth. You know, they had always been recently passed, but in this case, Lazarus had been in the grave 4 days, and he was going to really shock the people. They weren't going to be astounded by what they were about to see. Verse 18, now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off, and many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. The Jews of this time, they were really big on mourning and wailing and crying and comforting when someone died. That was one of their things that they really liked to do. It may sound strange, but I think some of them actually enjoyed it. They were always, anytime someone died, they were always rushing there to mourn them, to cry and wail. Verse 20, then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. So when they heard that Jesus was coming, Martha ran out to meet him. And you know, Jesus is coming again, and we should have that same anxiousness to see him. We should be so excited to see him. And Martha was very excited to see him. She ran out to meet him. Verse 21, then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. So she's saying, oh, if only you had been here, then maybe Lazarus, well, she didn't even say maybe. She said it as a statement, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. He wouldn't have died. She knew that, but he wasn't really dead. And they were all about to see that. Verse 22, but I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. So Martha understood the concept of the resurrection. She knew that all of God's children would one day rise again. But this was going to happen much sooner than she expected. Verse 25, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. So we see here another I am statement. And oh, what power there is in this statement. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. You know, those who do not believe in the Lord Jesus, they don't have any life, no spiritual life. They may think they do, but they don't. They're deceiving themselves, because he is the resurrection and the life. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? We're not going to die, folks. Not if we remain in the Lord Jesus. Not if we love him and keep his commandments and follow after him. If we do that, we will never die. He tells us that right here. He assures us of that. She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, The Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, She goeth unto the grave to weep there. So there they are. She's actually going out to meet Jesus, but they think, Oh, she's getting up. She must be going to the grave to weep for Lazarus. Let's go follow and watch her. It's kind of strange. There she goes. We all need to follow her there. You know, if I were her, I think I would have preferred to be alone. But they wanted to follow her, and that ended up being a good thing. Verse 32, Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. We see here she says the same thing that Martha said to him earlier. Oh, if only you had been here, he wouldn't have died. Verse 33, When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have ye laid him? They say unto him, Lord, come and see. So they were all there, and obviously there was great sadness. Mary and Martha, they were weeping. The Jews around were weeping. And, you know, Jesus, he was both God and man, so he did have some human emotions too. And his human side of him felt that same sadness that we feel when someone we love passes on. And that's why in verse 35 it tells us, And Jesus wept. Of course, we know that's the shortest verse in the Bible, and that's the verse that every Sunday school student is hoping they'll be assigned for memorization each week. Verse 36, Then said the Jews, Behold how he loved him. And that's very true. Jesus did love Lazarus very much, and Mary and Martha, that whole family. Verse 37, And some of them said, Could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died? Well, yes, he could have. But we remember from earlier in the chapter that he intentionally waited. Why? So God would get the glory for what was about to happen, because what Jesus was about to do seemed impossible to them. You know, they all acknowledged that Jesus could have healed this man while he was yet alive, but he had died and he was in the grave for 4 days, so what Jesus was about to do seemed impossible. But we know that with God, nothing is too hard for him, and nothing is impossible. The word impossible is not in God's vocabulary. Verse 38, Jesus, therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, Take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. So Martha's telling him, look, his body's going to stink. He's been in the grave 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? And she was about to see the glory of God. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And Jesus was doing it this way so that these people, all of these witnesses standing around, would know exactly who he is, the great I am. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And you know what? It's a good thing he said Lazarus by name, because if he hadn't done that, if he had just said, come forth, every grave in that graveyard would have opened, and every person who had been buried, no matter how long they had been there, they would have come forth. So he had to address Lazarus by name. Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. So this man, he was wrapped for burial, and yet he still came forth, something else that seems impossible. He shouldn't have even been able to move, but when the Lord issues a command, it is obeyed by all of creation. And Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. So he had to come forth. He couldn't walk. He was bound hand and foot. And yet he still came forth. Because Jesus told him to do it. Verse 45. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. How could you not after seeing something like that? But yet there are people out there who, if they saw a miracle like that, they still wouldn't believe in Jesus. You know, he could speak to them directly, and they still wouldn't believe him. There are some people, their hearts are just too hard for that. But thankfully, some of the people here did believe. Praise the Lord for that. But some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. So some of them believed on Jesus, but the others, they were going to go tattle on Jesus to the Pharisees and tell the Pharisees what Jesus had just done. Oh, this horrible thing that Jesus had just done. He brought a man back from death. He was risen from the grave. And, you know, in their minds, this was a bad thing. They should have been rejoicing in the Lord that such a wonderful thing had just occurred. But they went and they told the Pharisees. Verse 47, then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council and said, what do we? For this man doeth many miracles. If we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him, and the Romans shall come and take away both our place and nation. So they're saying here, if we let this guy keep doing what he's doing, I mean, he's done so many miracles, he's cured blindness, leprosy, deafness, he is... helped people who couldn't walk, and suddenly they could, and so forth and so on. And now he's brought this man back from the dead. Is there anything he can't do? But they should have known, logically speaking, that if you try to kill a man like this, the great I am, he's not going to stay in that grave. And he didn't. If we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him, and the Romans shall come and take away both our place and nation. So in other words, they're saying if we let this continue, the Romans are going to come in and they're going to destroy us because they're not going to tolerate this. Verse 49, and one of them, named Caiaphas, being the high priest that same year, said unto them, ye know nothing at all, nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and that the whole nation perish not. You know, it was at this point in time that they determined that was the last straw and Jesus would have to die. Oh, there were other times in their anger that he rose up and were going to try to stone him and were never able to do it, but after he had brought Lazarus back, they decided that's it. This cannot continue. He must be put to death. And this is where the little conspiracy started. Verse 50, "Nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and that the whole nation perish not. And this spake he not of himself, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die for that the nation, and not for that nation only, but that also he should gather together in one the children of God that were scattered abroad." Oh, praise the Lord for that, because that includes you and I. Not just for the Israelites, not just for the Jews, but for all of God's children who were scattered abroad. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Verse 53, "Then from that day forth they took counsel together for to put him to death." As I said, this from that point on, they had their little conspiracy. They were actively seeking out a way to destroy Jesus, to kill him. And verse 54 tells us, "Jesus therefore walked no more openly among the Jews, but went thence unto a country near to the wilderness, into a city called Ephraim, and there continued with his disciples. And the Jews' Passover was nigh at hand, and many went out of the country up to Jerusalem before the Passover to purify themselves. Then sought they for Jesus, and spake among themselves as they stood in the temple, What think ye, that he will not come to the feast?" So there was some discussion going on between the people in Jerusalem. They were wondering if Jesus would show up for the Passover. And of course he would, because Jesus was the Passover lamb. He had to be there. Verse 57, "Now both the chief priests and the Pharisees had given commandment that if any man knew where he were, he should show it, that they might take him." So we see here they have their little conspiracy. They were planning to kill Jesus, and they knew that he would most likely come to the Passover, so they were probably planning to do it at that time. But we see in this chapter 11 another I am statement. I am the resurrection and the life. And there is great power in that statement, but also great comfort in that statement. We are assured that if we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we will never die. Praise the Lord. What we're going to do now is go to John chapter 14 and look at another I am statement. And of course, at this point, it's getting very close to the time that Jesus would be taken. And he'd be put on trial, and he would be crucified. He would die, and he would rise again from the grave. It was getting very close to that time. And obviously, his disciples, they were saddened by this. They knew in their hearts that something was about to happen, and they were saddened at the thought of losing Jesus. And in chapter 14... he assures them, "You're not losing me." He is still going to be with them, even though that physical body he was wearing wouldn't be on the earth anymore after a time. His spirit would be in them. And this is a very, very exciting and comforting chapter. John chapter 14, verse 1 tells us, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me." And these are words that we need to take to heart too. This wasn't just for the disciples back there. This is for us also. "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." So he's telling them, "I'm going to leave. I have to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." And he is assuring them right there that he's coming back. He would be back to receive them unto himself. And that is a promise. And any time the Lord makes a promise, you can be sure that it's true. Because it's impossible for God to lie. And when he says he will do something, he will do it. Verse 4, "And whither I go ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So we see here another I am statement from the Lord Jesus. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And we know that in the previous John chapter 11, that we just read, he said that I am the resurrection and the life. And here he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So by now, we should be figuring out that Jesus is the life. And if we do not have Jesus, we do not have life. But he's also the way. He is the truth and the life. There is no other source of truth in this world. If you want to be assured of something that is true, you need the Lord Jesus, because he is the truth and he is the way. You want to know where you need to go? Just follow the Lord Jesus, because he is the way. And you cannot know God without knowing the Lord Jesus. For he tells us in verse 6, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. There might be people out there who try to know God, but if they don't know Jesus, they don't know God.
That's right.
You know, there are a lot of Muslims out there, and they do not believe that Jesus is the Son of God. They believe that he's a prophet, but that's not good enough. In fact, later on in this chapter, we're going to read, I and my Father are one. You see, Jesus, when he was on earth, not only was he the Son of God, but he was God manifest in the flesh, God wearing a human body. And that's something that if you go and tell that to a Muslim, they actually believe that that's blasphemy. And in some of them, depending on how radical they are, they might kill you for it. But you know what? Anyone who does not confess that the Lord Jesus is the Son of God is an antichrist. And John tells us that. So, you know what? Every single Muslim out there is an antichrist. And that's just the way it is. Verse 7, if ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Now this verse is very important, because here Jesus reveals without any doubt exactly who he is. Of course, he'd done that before numerous times. Chapter 8, he said, before Abraham was, I am, revealing that he is the great I am. And John chapter 1 tells us that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then it tells us later in that chapter that the Word was made flesh. So it's no secret who Jesus is. But he's going to reveal himself yet again, because even after everything he had done and all of his teachings, his disciples still didn't fully understand. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? In other words, he's saying, I'm right here, right in front of you. He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. And I believe every time he said, I am, there was great power in that. Every time he said, I am, probably shook the heavens. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And you know, if you're dwelling in the will of God, if you're obedient to the Lord, and you ask him for something, he'll give it to you as long as it is in the will of God, as long as it's not some nonsense or foolishness. We need to understand that if you read the Epistle of James, people who ask amiss don't get what they ask for. So we need to make sure we're not asking amiss. But this is yet another promise from the Lord Jesus. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. You know, there are a lot of people out there who say they love Jesus, but if we really love him, we need to keep his commandments. That's how we show that we love him, by keeping his commandments. And if you're not keeping his commandments, you don't really love him, no matter what you might say. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Just like that song we sang earlier, the Comforter has come. And thank the Lord, the Comforter has come. And this chapter is going to reveal exactly who the Comforter is. Even the Spirit of Truth. Remember earlier in this chapter, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The Holy Ghost, the Comforter, that is the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. Says right here, even the Spirit of Truth, and Jesus is the truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. You know why they can't see him? Because they don't have the light of the world. That's why. Verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. So he leaves no doubt that that Comforter is his very Spirit, the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. He is the Comforter. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live. Ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Praise the Lord, we get to be a part of that too. He will be in us, his Spirit dwelling inside us. Praise the Lord. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Just think of that. The abode of the Lord Jesus Christ inside us, in our hearts, dwelling within us, that Holy Ghost. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. Those who do not keep the words of the Lord Jesus, they do not love the Lord Jesus. They might say they do, but if they're not keeping these words in their heart, they don't love him. Jesus makes that very clear. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You know, when you have the Holy Ghost, you have peace in your hearts, a peace that passes all understanding. You look around at the world and everything that's happening, and people, they're scared, they're afraid, but we can have peace in our hearts despite all of that. And it's going to boggle the minds of people who see it. They're not going to understand how you could be at peace with all the trouble that's in the world. And that's just going to get worse. But when you have the Lord Jesus, you have that peace. It's a peace not as the world giveth. This world clamors after peace, but if they don't get it from the Lord Jesus, if they don't get it from the Prince of Peace, they're not going to have true peace. They're not going to have real peace. The UN will never set up peace in this world. In fact, since they came into existence, there's been more wars than ever. But to have peace, you must have the Lord Jesus. And he tells us, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye loved me, ye would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it come to pass, ye might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do, arise and let us go hence. So we see in John chapter 14 that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. That was another I am statement. And we're going to look at another I am statement in the 15th chapter of the book of John. John 15 verse 1 tells us, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. So again, we see another I am statement. Again, he's revealing another one of his characteristics. For he is the great I am. And that's why he often said so many times, I am. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. You know what? Jesus is the true vine, and we are branches on that vine. But if we're not bearing any fruit, we're going to be taken away. In fact, it tells us in this chapter that those branches which don't bear fruit are going to be burned. But if we do bear fruit, we're going to be pruned. We're going to be perfected, and that's not always pleasant. But he does it so that we bear more fruit. Amen. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. If you want to be clean, you need the words of the Lord Jesus. There's no other way to do it. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. Look, if we're not attached to our Savior, if we're not connected to the Lord Jesus, we're going to wither and die. We're going to be a dead branch. That's how important it is that we have the Lord Jesus in our lives. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. And that is so true. Without him we can do absolutely nothing. He's the vine, we're the branches. And without him we are dead, dead withered branches that will be cast into fire. Verse 6, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. If you want to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus, you have to bear fruit. Good fruit. Much fruit. That's how the Father is glorified. Praise the Lord. You know, if we're going to go around claiming to be Christians, people should be able to see that in the way we behave, the way we live our lives. There should be no doubt. They shouldn't wonder, I wonder if that person is a Christian. And they certainly shouldn't be surprised if you tell them that you are. You know, if you tell someone you're a Christian, they shouldn't say, really? I had no idea. It should be evident. There should be good fruit there. Praise the Lord. Verse 8, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. That's how we show that we love the Lord Jesus, by obeying his commandments, by doing what he told us to do. That's how we show our love for him. And that's not too much to ask. After all he's done for us. Praise the Lord. Verse 11. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. He's telling them these things so that they would have joy. The joy of the Savior. Not only are we going to have peace in our hearts, but we're going to have joy. And not just a little bit of joy, but it tells us, and that your joy might be made full. We can be full of joy. Praise the Lord. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Think of it. God robed in flesh, and we can be his friend. We can be the friend of the Lord Jesus. All we have to do is obey His commandments, and we are His friend. Creator of the universe. If you could imagine that. What a thought. Praise the Lord. Our friend. Glory to God. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. So that's another important verse. He tells us, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. It's God who does the choosing, not us. These things I command you, that ye love one another. And that's a command, so we better do it. After all, if we don't obey that command, well, then we're not in the Lord Jesus, because he tells us to obey his commandments. He says, if I love you, if ye love me, keep my commandments. And he commands us right here that we love one another. So we better do that. Praise the Lord. But the world isn't going to love us. And that's something we're going to see right here in these scriptures. If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. And it only stands to reason, if the world hated the Lord Jesus, they're going to hate you too. That's just the way it is. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. You know, we're not of the world. We belong to a kingdom that is not of this world, the kingdom of the Lord Jesus. Our citizenship is in heaven. We're here for a little while. But this world is not our home. We're just passing through. And, you know, people out there, they get a little upset at Christians. And a lot of times it's not so much what you do that offends them and upsets them, but what you refuse to go along with. And we will be hated if we are in the Lord, if we're serving him. People aren't going to like you. Now, this doesn't say that every person out there in the world is going to hate you. Thankfully, that's not the case, but there are going to be people out there who do hate you and cause trouble and strife in your life. That's just the way it is. And don't expect great acceptance of your Christian faith these days. And the way it is out there right now, you know, it's more and more railed against, especially in the United States, the way things are. And, of course, a big reason for that is, you know, the homosexual movement that's become so prevalent now, and they say that if you don't accept what they're doing, then you're just a bigot and you're full of hate and not all that nonsense. And that's a big reason that a lot of people will hate you, because you refuse to accept that lifestyle, which is now so common here in the United States. But we're not going to be loved by the world. But that's okay, because we don't need to be loved by the world. We're loved by God. Praise the Lord for that. That's so much better. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Verse 20. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. So he's just being honest with them. If they persecuted me, you're going to be persecuted too. And that's just the way it is. But that's okay, because we have strength. We have the Comforter dwelling inside us, the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 21, but all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin, but now they had no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. Anybody who hates the Lord Jesus hates God. And they're not going to be saved. You can be assured of that, because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other way. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin, but now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. I mean, look at the things Jesus did when he was here on earth in the form of man, the miracles he performed, the good things he did. They hated him without cause. There was no reason to hate him, but they did. Verse 26, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. We know that is the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ, because he said, I and my Father are one. And he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So that Comforter is the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And ye shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. So we see yet another I am statement in chapter 15. I am the true vine. He is the vine. We are the branches. We need to make sure that we are attached to him, because if we're not, we're going to wither up and die. And if we're a dead branch, we will be cast into fire. I want to go to one final place before we close. We're going to look at another I am statement, but it's not in the book of John. It's in the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 1. In my Bible, at the heading here in Revelation, it says the revelation of St. John the Divine. That is incorrect. It should not say that, because if you look at verse 1 right below it, it says the revelation of Jesus Christ. So they got that wrong, and it's a common mistake in a lot of Bibles. But as long as the text is proper, it's all right. They just got the heading wrong. As long as the verses are intact, that's okay. But we should know that that's wrong, and it should be basic knowledge, because it says there right in verse 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ. But we are going to look at Revelation chapter 1 right now, starting with verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angels unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Now, we're not going to study the whole book of Revelation. That would take quite some time. But we're going to look at an I am statement in this chapter, a very, very important I am statement. Verse 4, John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you, and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. He washed our sins away in his own blood. Praise the Lord. And hath made us kings and priests unto God his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. And he's making another promise here. Behold, he cometh with clouds. And that's not talking about clouds made up of condensation and water vapor and so forth. He's talking about a cloud of witnesses. Behold, he cometh with clouds. He's coming back, folks. We know it. He's coming back, and each and every day when we wake up, we're one day closer to that wonderful day when he comes back. It's going to be a very sad day for a lot of people, but for us, it's going to be the greatest day of our lives. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Now, verse 8, we're going to see another I am statement. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. He is the great I am. And this is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ right here. If you don't believe me, and I'm sure you all do, but if anybody hears this message and they don't believe that's referring to the Lord Jesus, it says so later on in this chapter. So we're going to continue on so that there's no ambiguity here. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. You know, John was banished to the Isle of Patmos. They thought they'd put him on that island and he would die there. But you know what? God used that. And we have the book of Revelation because of that. John was instructed to write it down. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus and unto Smyrna and unto Pergamos and unto Thyatira and unto Sardis and unto Philadelphia and unto Laodicea. We should recognize some of those names, some of those cities and so forth from when we studied the book of Acts, because some of those places were places that Paul went. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. It's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ right here. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. Remember that verse? The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. That's Jesus Christ, folks. Yes. I am the first and the last.
Oh, yes, he is.
I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and of death. So we see here that it is Jesus Christ who is the great I am. He says, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. You know, they thought they had killed him. He hung on that cross. They crucified him. They buried him. But he rose from that grave victorious because he had no sins of his own, and the grave could not keep him. And he has victory over death. He got that victory for us so that we too can have that victory if we abide in him. And it's so clear from the scriptures that it is Jesus Christ who is the great I am. That same great I am who revealed himself to Moses in the book of Exodus chapter 3. Jesus is that great I am. Praise the Lord. He is the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega. It says, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and of death. Praise the Lord. He has victory over hell. He has victory over death. And he is sharing that victory with us if we abide in him and obey his commandments. But Jesus is the great I am. I'm going to close with a prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy holy word. We thank thee for revealing thyself to us and who you are, for we know that thou art the great I am. We thank thee, O God, for all that thou hast shown us. And we ask, O God, that these scriptures would not leave us, but we ask that they would abide in our hearts and that thy spirit would be in our hearts. We ask, O God, that thou inspire us each and every day to follow you wherever we go, for we know that you said, I am the way and the truth and the life. And we know that we would be completely lost and floundering around without thee. We ask, O God, that thou wouldst be with us each and every day, every step of the way. And we pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. All right, we're going to sing a chorus in closing, number 78, Keep on Walking by Faith. Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know he won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. Just
keep on walking by faith. I know He won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith.
Praise the Lord, and you are dismissed unto prayer. Thank you.
mommy and daddy. I'm okay. Oh. Yes, that's right. He is. It keeps your mommy busy too, doesn't it?
Yeah.